Sit or lie back and make yourself comfortable. Turn the attention inward. Find the breath as you settle in. The breath moving in the body. Just take the attention from the top of your head all the way down to the tip of your toes, all the way out to the tips of your fingers, just checking in and seeing if there's any tightness or tension, anything that you're not attending to that with a little attention could be let go. And then a couple of more nice, long, deep, full breaths, just letting everything go other than being right here, right now. No past, no future, no other, just this. And then in that present, here, relaxed place, would you consider, please, this statement? There is no such thing as anxiety. There is no such thing as anxiety. And I can imagine that there could be a reaction to that statement. So I ask you, please, let me make my case. And then we can explore the whole issue together, which is the point of this approach. I want us to have a stated working hypothesis against which we can do our experiments. So here we go with the starting point. First, there's movement. Then there's sensation. There's a label attached to that sensation, an emotional reaction to the label, and a conditioned behavior tied to the whole sequence. For instance, I'm alone in the house. I hear, feel, some kind of movement in another part of the house. I feel a sensation in my body as the sound moves through. That sensation is labeled fear. I feel afraid. I run to the bathroom, lock the door, and hide in the shower. We can each, very likely, come up with our own version of that kind of scenario. And we're probably familiar with the ways we cope. Some people would buy guns or mace or have an emergency number with them 24/7. Women are schooled early in avoiding dark streets, not parking in isolated lots and such. But anxiety, what we call anxiety, doesn't tend to be quite as episodic as fear. Where fear is usually a jolt, followed by some sort of figuring out, scrambling to a survival understanding. Yes, oh, I was just rear-ended, but I don't seem seriously injured. Or that explosion sounded nearby, but I can't see any evidence of damage. Anxiety, on the other hand, lurks and lingers. With a car accident or an explosion, or even an unexplained noise in the house at night, it happens and then it passes. We can be pretty sure when it happened, what triggered the reaction, and we can feel the adrenaline rush passing. With anxiety, it's nigh on to impossible to know where it starts. In fact, it doesn't start in that nice, clean, first there's movement, then there's sensation, trajectory of fear. Anxiety isn't an event, a moment of content. It's a process. Rather than a sudden sound or a physical event like tripping and falling or nearly getting run over by a car, anxiety is ever present, usually under the level of conscious awareness, agitating. And it does it in a most often subliminal conversation. It's the end of the month. Bills are coming due. Money's tight. There's a big project to be completed, and it's just not coming together. That pain is not only not going away, it seems to be getting worse. Companies are escalating the number of layoffs. Insurance premiums are through the roof. My partner seems distant. My teenagers hate me, and the feeling is starting to be mutual. What if I get COVID, and it's not one of the mild cases? What was the trigger in any of that? Did someone say something? Did I read something? Or is that, in quotes, worry always there, operating in the background, waiting for the moment to come to the forefront of conscious awareness and become full-blown fear? It's my contention, and the reason I say so confidently that there's no such thing as anxiety, that what is called anxiety is simply a fear of feeling afraid. A fear of how it would feel if any of the circumstances I worry about came to pass. A fear that I won't be able to stand it. A synonym for anxiety is, of course, worry. However, worry tends to be viewed as more benign, which is interesting, and I suspect not at all accidental. So, at this juncture, let's bring in the Zen perspective on what this life we're living is all about. We got fooled into leaving ourselves long before we can remember. We used to look inward to the life force animating us, much like every other creature in the natural world. Then, we realized our survival depended upon our pleasing others. So our attention went outside to those upon whom our survival depended. We learned to adapt, accommodate, avoid, dissemble, pretend, hide. We were then told that those are wrong, and so we also learned to feel bad about ourselves for doing what we believe we need to do to survive. At some point, worry becomes existential in the sense that it is all pervasive, everywhere, all the time, whether we're consciously aware of it or not. It becomes an orientation. For instance, there's the car. What if it breaks down? What if I can't make the payment? What if I get in an accident, which is my fault, and I get sued? What if a crazy person shoots me for driving in a way that upsets them? What if someone shoots me from a freeway overpass? How much of that is in conscious awareness? Probably not much. But it, and much more, is there, behind the scenes, tied with invisible cords to the word car. Now, if we picture those cords attached to all the words in our life, including those we very likely rarely consider, we can get a sense of how imprisoned we are in a tangle of worry. Perhaps you're hearing a voice tell you that you're not really a worrier. My mother is a worrier. I had a boss who was freaked out, a nervous wreck. That's not me. Yeah, it is. The difference for each of us with anxiety, as well as every other issue in human existence, is how we are with it. We can ignore, tense up, distract, use drink and drugs, overexercise, obsess about food or sex, all tried, true, and familiar, even if the word popular seems a stretch. As conditioned humans, we cope. We manage. Back to that hide, pretend, dissemble, avoid. And again, we've learned to feel bad about ourselves for doing what we've had to do to survive. So, we might intelligently ask, where does this leave us? We ask that, of course, because as students of awareness, we don't ask, what do I do? We have a big clue as to direction in our coping survival methods. For instance, I'm anxious. In modern parlance, I suffer with or I suffer from anxiety. Now, while it's true that I've learned to do my best to hide that from you, I also do my best to hide that from me. How does that work? Well, I spend enormous amounts of time and energy trying not to be anxious. I may attempt to control my circumstances, my environment, to avoid anything that would cause anxiety. I might use food or alcohol or drugs to calm my system. I may worry constantly about having an attack of anxiety. But here's the one thing that I don't do. The one thing that will actually work. And I don't do it because I'm too afraid to do it. What is that? I don't stop, sit down, and turn all my attention, all conscious awareness, to precisely what I am experiencing in this very moment. Stay with that for as long as you choose. And then when you feel ready, bring all of your attention back to the breath. Maybe do the wiggle your fingers and your toes. Make sure you're back in your body. And then open your eyes and make a few notes. And my encouragement, of course, is to listen to this again as many times as you will choose, because this is the framework we'll be using to go deeper into each aspect of this process, this subject. Gosh, oh.